Stars of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, we're going to come down here to Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight. I'm on the Phil Hendrick Show, of course, and we're going to be talking about something that we feel is very, very important, and we would like to hear from people.
Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
And, you know, that is the commercial for the show. That's the commercial for your restaurant, Ted, that we're going to be talking about tonight. And, of course, you're going to want to use that to promote the restaurant. But
I thought that tonight, because we're going to be talking about... We're going to be talking about my business, is what we're going to be talking about. And when it comes to my business, I think you're the same way, Phil. And... you can put that on table three. And look, I'm going to move out of the... I'm standing right here near the kitchen.
You're at the restaurant now.
Yes, I am. Hold on. When you talk about my business... I think, Phil, when you talk about anybody's business, I think what you're doing is you are getting into an area that is very, very sensitive, and I think you need to know what it is you're talking about. And I think you've got to tread very, very lightly. When you talk about a man's business, it's like you're talking about his family. And when you presume to give a man advice about his business, then I think you're in the middle of something that you shouldn't be in the middle of. And that's where we find ourselves today. And I don't know if you still have that list.
We're talking to Ted Bell here, folks. And I'm sorry that we got out in front of this thing a little bit too fast. I have a list of... there were three. These are all men who head up different congregations in Southern California. Tyler Cushing of La Mirada Assembly, William Runton of First Christian in Monrovia, the Bible Study Center in Diamond Bar.
Are these all the only individuals that have been complaining about this?
There are them, and there have been people that have been calling. And so that's why I said when I talked to you earlier, I said, well, look, why don't we go on the air and talk about this? And you can air your grievances.
Well, I don't have the grievances, Phil. The problem is these people have grievances. That's the problem. And the problem is that these are people that are looking to tell me what to do with a business that I worked very, very hard on. Now, I've been on your program many times. As you know, I sponsor a full hour of the Phil Hendrick Show. And I think that the listeners out there can appreciate that. And I'm not about to change the way I do business because, you know, these guys and other people who may or may not come to my restaurant, I don't want to be disrespectful.
Let me ask you a question. Are you a religious man yourself?
I don't think I need to answer that question.
All right. I mean, were you raised Christian?
I don't think I need to answer that question. I think when you ask that question... You're trying to qualify me.
I just thought I'd see what kind of commonality there might be. You know.
Well, what about you? Were you raised Christian?
I was raised Catholic.
All right. Do you still go to? I think you said you still go to Catholic Mass occasionally.
Occasionally, yeah. I wouldn't call myself an overly religious guy, but I suppose I try to keep a sense of God in my life as much as I can.
All right. So, in other words, Phil, and I don't mean any disrespect, but what you just gave me there is the typical. A media personality sort of, get lost answer.
No, it's not get lost.
Well, yeah, it is, because, you know, I try to keep God in my life. You don't want me to ask any questions, but you want to ask me.
Well, look, Ted, it's your restaurant that we're talking, and let me get everybody squared away on what we're talking about. We've had, over the course of time, on this radio show, since Ted has been a sponsor... And since he's been coming on and sponsoring this hour, we have had from time to time people who have been outspokenly critical of Ted's commercial jingle. And more to the point, the commercial slogan that he uses for his restaurant, which is, "We want to put our meat in your mouth." Now, you understand, Ted, as we've talked many times, that people perceive that to be... obscene or not family friendly?
No, I absolutely understand that, yes.
And you have said time and again that it's not.
It is absolutely not. It is a advertising slogan that we went out and we contracted with an advertising agency in New York, and we wanted to come up with a slogan for our restaurant that was as direct as something, for instance, McDonald's used for many, many years, which is come to the Golden Arches, you never had it so good. Or if you used the Burger King slogan for many years, have it your way. Those two slogans really spelled it out for the customer. Have it your way. You come to Burger King, you have the hamburger the way you want it. You never had it so good if you come to McDonald's, and if you come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And what we're talking about is the best steak that you're ever going to eat in your life. Now, for me to fold under pressure from individuals who immediately want to read something filthy into that.
Do you understand how it can be seen that way?
I understand it will be seen that way by people who think that way.
And all right, Ted, let me interrupt. Do you understand that the people who have come in contact with us criticizing that, some of them are these men that I mentioned. These are ministers, preachers.
No, I understand that. And I don't want to be disrespectful, but if I have to be, I'm going to be. And I'm going to repeat what I just said. It is seen as obscene by people that think in obscene ways.
So you were saying that Dr. Cushing, Dr. Runton, Dr. Pethering...
By the way, excuse me, what are they doctors of?
These are men who are doctors of theology.
All right, and what was your question?
Are you saying that those men think in obscene ways?
Absolutely. Yes, I am.
And that those men, when they hear that, can only think of one thing?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, yes. See, Phil, and I want to appeal to your listeners. The best way that I know how is to just say this directly. This is my business. I worked very hard to get this business to where it is today. And if I want to put a slogan on a billboard that says we want to put our meat in your mouth, and it's going to be seen by customers all over Southern California and all over the Bay Area and all over Washington, D.C., wherever we have a Ted's of Beverly Hills. Right now, we've got a Ted's of Beverly Hills in the East Bay, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Miami, and here in Southern California. And we had the restaurant in Hawaii, and we're retooling the restaurant in Honolulu, but we've got those four. And I'm telling you, and I'm telling your audience, that advertising slogan is going to be seen on billboards wherever we have a restaurant. It'll be heard on radio commercials, and I'm not changing anything. So I still don't understand what it is we're talking about.
We've had people who want you to explain why that slogan.
Because we paid for it, because an advertising agency came up with it, because I like it, because it advertises the restaurant very well.
Okay, so when and this is just Ted, I'm a friend of yours, okay?
No, I understand it.
When someone says to me, as Dr. Cushing did, that it came to his attention when he was driving down the 605 and he saw a billboard, Ted's of Beverly Hills, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And he's driving with two of his kids.
No, I understand.
All right, you understand then with someone driving with their kids.
Well, if that man was driving with his kids, then he should have said to those kids, oh, kids, that doesn't mean anything. If the children reacted to it in a dirty way, I don't know what happened in the car. Did the kids go, ooh, daddy, that's dirty? Or did he, or what happened? But he could say to them, no, that's about a restaurant that serves steak. You know?
Well, he said that he came home and put the phone call into us. And,
No, but what I'm asking you is this. When he saw the billboard, did his children react to it?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You don't know. Now, I'll give you the answer, and I wasn't even in the car. No, they didn't.
And, well, come on. Ted, you know as well as I do the kids are going to react to things.
No, I understand that they will, but they're not going to react to that. Why would they react to that?
Why would they react to that? We live in a day and age, Ted, of South Park, of The Simpsons, double entendre.
That is not double entendre. And that's what I resent more than anything else. It's not double entendre. I mean it exactly as I say it. We got great steak. We want to put it in your mouth. Where do you eat your food? In your mouth. Where do you chew it? With your teeth. I'm not going to be bullied, Phil, by your religious friends or whoever they are.
They're not friends of mine. These are people who just called the show.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, I mean, I'm not going to be bullied by people because they have filth between their ears, and they want to, you know, affect my business. I find this to be very, very... I think this is very evil, if you want my honest opinion, because here I am with a business that I've spent a lot of hours building up, and down the 605 drives some guy with a turned-around collar, and he sees this billboard, and he immediately goes home and makes a call to you, and now he's going to get himself, he's going to become an advocate for some kind of family-oriented thing. I don't like it, and you can hear my throat.
Do you have a cold?
I'm suffering with a cold, yeah.
All right, you want to take a break?
I would appreciate that, yeah.
All right, Ted Bell is with us here on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking about the slogan to his restaurant, which is Ted's of Beverly Hills. He's been an advertiser of ours for a long time. Can we play that again, bud? Just listen to this.
Ted's of Beverly Hills. Steakhouse.
Well, you know what? In any event, we're going to be playing this coming out of the stop set, but the slogan here at the end of this commercial has got the attention of a number of people in the religious community. They want to change. Ted says he won't.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
There it is. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The Phil Henry Show will be right back, and PhilHenryShow.com.
Truth is our bitch, The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. And we are very proud of our business, and we hope you bring your family in and enjoy a great meal at Ted's.
Here at Ted's.
Sing it.
And
that's what we mean, Phil.
All right. Joining us is Ted Bell. He is the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, a very, very well-known steakhouse here in Southern California. In Northern California, in Washington, D.C., they have a Ted's of Beverly Hills. Actually, in Georgetown or the Capitol Hill District?
That's the Capitol, yeah. What they call the Capital City District.
Okay. And then South Beach.
South Beach, Miami. And we're retooling, and we are reopening our Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu. Early 2013.
Ted's at Beverly Hills Honolulu. I don't know, man. I want to go to that one.
Oh, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. And
where are you?
We're Waikiki, right near Waikiki, right near the Royal Hawaiian. And I'll tell you something, Phil.
I just love the idea of a Ted's at Beverly Hills in Honolulu. You know.
Well, we wanted to call it. Somebody want to go to Ted's at Beverly Hills Hawaii? No, no. No, I like the very classic sound of Honolulu, and let's face it, at one time, and still, I think Honolulu was not just the capital of Hawaii and certainly a tourist destination. It was in its own way an entertainment capital, and so we want to bring a little bit of that back to Honolulu.
All right, well, what we're talking about here, folks, if you're just joining us, Ted has an advertising slogan that you just heard. We want to put our meat in your mouth, and we've gotten complaints over the years that we have very, very much, very strenuously defended you, Ted. What happened was, though, we got Pastor Cushing and a few of these members of the religious community here in Los Angeles, as well as elsewhere within the sound of our radio show, within reach of our radio show. And the fact that you have, like so many businesses, I think In-N-Out has a truck that goes out, right?
Yeah, well, we've got, we take out the Ted Lunch, which we call the Ted Lunch Wagon, and we want to put our meat in your mouth, emblazoned on the side. That is the slogan, and I don't know a company that's involved in the food delivery or restaurant business that doesn't go out when they are taking one of their promotional vehicles out, whether it's Murray Lender with his bagels, and I know Murray, and he's a wonderful guy. But you got the name of his business right there on the side, and we do as well. The fact that we're going to Wanton High School, which I understand is a private Christian high school, but we were invited there by the senior class, and we're going to serve lunch to some 120 senior students. And I don't know that the so-called administration there has the right to keep my business from doing business.
If you're a parent, and I know you are a parent, that's not a very difficult thing to figure out. The school is ultimately in charge of who or what comes on their campus.
Well, I don't know what you mean by what, but...
You know what I mean.
I understand that they are there to protect the kids, absolutely.
Of course, they're not only there to protect the kids, they are the surrogate parents while the kids are there. They are there to see that the children are safe. They're there to make sure that the kids are educated.
I understand it, Phil, and what you're getting at, if I may, you're getting at what you think is me coming on campus with our lunch truck. And with the slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth, you're saying that I'm somehow violating the safety of those kids. And
well, no, not the safety, no.
Well, then what are we doing wrong?
You're going onto the campus with a advertising slogan that perhaps the teachers, the administration, and the parents would rather you not have on that truck.
Well, they're not telling me what to do.
Now, I understand that. But they can certainly tell you whether you can come on that campus or not.
I don't think so.
Why would you say that, Ted? The
senior class invited me, and
the senior class invited you. These are all underage kids.
And well, they are the senior class. They invited us. They want us there for. I think they're having a senior class lunch that will be ahead of a weekend. They're going to have a basketball weekend, and they're going to have a formal, and we're going to serve lunch. And
why would you go onto that campus even if you're told not to?
Who am I told not to by?
If you're told not to by the administration there.
If we're told not to by the administration, then I would ask them why, and they would say because we want to put your meat in our mouth. Is that it?
Well, that's what they're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's what they're saying. Are they going to say that to me? Are they going to have the guts to say to me, we don't want you on our campus? Because the advertising slogan on the side of your truck says, we want to put our meat in your mouth. Are they going to say that to me?
I think what they're going to say to you is the following. It's not a family-friendly slogan.
Okay, right there is a lawsuit, right there. I'm glad you said that. And I was waiting for you to say it because I wasn't going to say it. But right there is a lawsuit. And the lawsuit is the following thing. It is them saying that my business is not family-friendly. Which is an absolute insult, which is, it's beyond an insult. It is a slander, and if they publish that on the air, if I hear any one of them come on your radio show and say that, then it's libel.
Ted, I'm telling you what they said to me.
Right, and I wanted you to tell me that, because I understand they got an opinion, but the minute they say that, themselves, and I want them to say that. I want to see if they got the guts to say that I don't run a family-friendly business.
Do you understand? Can I ask you a question?
Well, you're gonna ask me the same question you've been asking me, Phil.
No. I'm just going to. Maybe I didn't ask it clear enough. Do you understand the concern of some people when they say? Because I've said it to you over the years. I've said to you, gee, what's with that slogan? Have you ever gotten any trouble for it?
Well, I know you have, and I have cleared it up time and again with you. And so you're going to ask me, do I understand parents and teachers having a problem with, we want to put our meat in your mouth? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Do I understand them having a problem with it? If they have a sewer in place of a mind. Yes, I understand that.
All right, so anyone that says to you, whether they're a parent or whether they're a religious leader, your slogan is not family friendly, they have, instead of a mind, a sewer.
Yes. Exactly what I'm saying. You see, Phil, what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to back down, and this has got nothing to do with religion. They could be anybody. I'm not backing down in the face of hypocrites, bigots, people with prejudice, and people that would rather think filthy thoughts than let a man run his business. I'm not backing down. Ted Bell.
Okay, great. We'll be right back here. So there's Ted Bell. The slogan, "We want to put our meat in your mouth," has now become a controversy at least a couple of the schools where they want to send their lunch wagon. Is it family friendly? "We want to put our meat in your mouth" is the name of this, is the slogan that a New York advertising agency came up with for Ted's of Beverly Hills. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Never.
Famous Bill Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we are very, very anxious to have you in our restaurant. We don't want anybody to be uncomfortable in our restaurant. We like to say we want to put our meat in your mouth because we mean our steak. We don't mean anything.
All right, hold on.
But we don't mean anything other than that.
All right, hold on. Ted, you have a couple of advertisements. We're talking with Ted Bell about the about his restaurant's advertising slogan, "We want to put our meat in your mouth," which is come under attack. It's on billboards in Southern California and elsewhere where Ted's restaurants are.
I had a phone call from somebody in Virginia Falls, Virginia, who had been in Washington, D.C. and had seen our restaurant. And I said, "It's nice to meet you." And you know, I thought it was a courtesy call. And this was an individual who had gone to the capital city and said, "Well, he saw the billboard. We want to put our meat in your mouth." And he said he considered it to be an affront. And I said to him, "Sir, let me ask you a question." This guy was a businessman from Virginia Falls, and he said, "Go ahead." I said, "What is the Girl Scout slogan?" I said, "The Girl Scouts are you familiar with the Girl Scout?" The cookie that they sell, or I don't know how they, you know, how often they do that, Phil?
Yeah, Girl Scout cookies.
Right, Girl Scout cookies, and they do that every what?
I don't know. I think it's in the winter. It might be in the wintertime.
All right, and I said to the gentleman, "Are you familiar with the Girl Scout?" And he said, "Of course I am." I said, "Okay, everybody is." I said, "Do you know what their slogan is?" And he said, "No." I said, "It's do a good turn daily." I said, "You know, for me, I don't care. But they have been allowed to get away with that for years." And he sort of stopped, and he said, "Well, are you referring to," and we talked about it. I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I can understand that." He said, "But that is a little more subtle than we want to put our meat in your mouth." I said, "Well, you know what? Then you're just prejudiced against a businessman, and you're prejudiced in favor of a bunch of little girls." And I said, "And quite frankly, I find that very suspicious." And I hung the phone up on him because he wanted to give these kids the benefit of the doubt on do a good turn. And
all right, well, you're losing me because I don't know what's wrong with do a good turn daily.
I don't know what to say to you.
Well, you're going to have to say something because I think my audience is lost and I am too.
Well, if your audience is lost, you are, then let me say this. What do you do every day? Nature's calling.
Okay, I know what you mean. I mean...
Yeah, a turn.
Oh, come on, Ted.
No, I'm not. Come on, Ted. I'm telling you that the Girl Scout slogan can be interpreted to say, sit down and take a crap once a day.
And do you honestly believe that that's what they...
No, excuse me. I didn't come on your program to get yelled at. All right.
I'm sorry, Ted, but do you honestly believe that that's what the Girl Scouts of America...
I don't know, but that's what can be interpreted. And that's what I try to say to this gentleman. And he said, "Well, I don't see that." And I said, "But yeah, that's because I think you sticking up for Girl Scouts is very, I think that is it. Somebody ought to look into that," is what I said to him, and I hung the phone up.
So in other words, this man, I just want to be clear on what happened on the phone conversation.
All right.
The man called up and said that, "I don't like your we want to put our meat in your mouth slogan." And you said, "Well, what about the Girl Scouts do a good turn daily," which you think means a bowel movement, I guess.
Yes.
And the man said that he didn't see it and he stuck up for the Girl Scouts. And you took that to mean he's a pedophile.
I said I was very suspicious and I hung up on him, yeah. Now, Phil, you know, there are countless examples of this. The Skittles example, which is Taste the Rainbow. Some people...
What is it again?
It's Taste the Rainbow.
Okay.
Some people are extremely uncomfortable with that. I am. I'm very uncomfortable with it because I believe it has adult overtones.
What adult overtone?
Again, you are forcing me into articulating these things that I personally don't want to articulate because I don't necessarily think there is anything wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with Do a Good Turn Daily. I just told this man that's what you could interpret that to mean.
I just don't see the Girl Scouts.
Well, hold the phone here, Phil. I've got a slogan that says we want to put our meat in your mouth. I don't mean anything dirty by that. I mean we want you to taste our steak. The Girl Scouts have a slogan, Do a Good Turn Daily. I don't think there's anything dirty about it, but there's some animal out there that's going to take that to mean, oh, the Girl Scouts are reminding you to sit on the toilet once a day.
Well, if there is somebody out there that is taking that meaning from that...
You would think that they're sick, right?
I would.
Okay, why don't you give me the benefit of the doubt and say, if somebody takes my slogan, which is we want to put our meat in your mouth, and they take that to mean something dirty... that you think they're sick. You want to know why, Phil? Because you want to see a businessman like me run into the ground until there's nothing left.
And no, that is not. That is absolute and utter horse dung.
Well, then why don't you stick up for me instead of sticking up for all of your Obama friends? And
whoa, hold on for a minute, man. If this is all of a sudden a political thing...
Absolutely a political thing. You better believe it. A man just won the election in Florida tonight. A guy that's going to, I think, bring this country back, Mitt Romney. I don't think Mitt Romney has... He's a Mormon, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Even though he's a Mormon, I don't think he would ever say to me, I don't like your, you know, the meat in your mouth slogan. I don't know what he would say about whether, you know, he would eat at my restaurant, but I don't think he'd ever take my right away from me to do that. And the same thing goes with Skittles.
And this whole Skittles thing is very strange with you saying that it is a...
What is strange about it?
Well, you say that, come taste the rainbow, is that it?
That is exactly right.
And you think that's what?
I think it's extremely adult.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I'm going to go over here to Ronnie in San Antonio. Ronnie, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing?
Good.
Listen, I want to ask this gentleman, your name is Ted, right?
Ted Bell, yes, sir.
All right, well, I don't know your restaurant. I haven't eaten at your restaurant. I don't probably plan on eating at your restaurant because we don't have, I don't know if you've got a Ted's of Beverly Hills in San Antonio or not, but we do not. All right, well, if I was driving down the road and I saw a billboard that said, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and I had my wife, and I've got two little girls in my family, and I saw that on a billboard, it would upset me. And I would definitely want to do something about getting that taken down. It doesn't mean what you think it means. Well, it doesn't matter if it doesn't mean what I think it means. It means... I think in the mind of everyone, what it means. And I would have to explain that to not only my wife, I'd have to explain it to my daughters.
Wait, would you, you would...
I want to find out. You would explain this to, how old are your daughters? Well, my daughters are 4 and 5. I'm not telling you that. You would explain that to your, you tell your daughters what you thought it meant. I'm not saying that I would. In a graphic way.
Wait, sir. Can I ask you something? This is Phil.
Yeah.
You got a 4 and 5 year old, 4 and 5 year old daughters.
Yes, I do.
Then why would you even begin to explain to them what you think that means?
Because someone's going to have to do that. This man has decided that he wants to expose my family to that. I didn't expose your family to anything. There's a billboard there, and you're going to explain this to your 4 and 5 year olds? I'm going to be discussing it with my wife. Why would you discuss it with your wife? Because we're in the car together. We're in the car. We're talking about it. And my daughters are naturally going to say, what are you talking about?
And if I tell them that it's adult stuff, then we've got an argument. And that's an argument I'm not going to win, because now I'm driving a car and I got three women who are in my ear and screaming their obscenities.
Wait, sir.
I got it, Phil. Let me grab it, Phil, okay? I got it. All right, relax.
No, don't tell me you got it.
I got it. Are you trying to tell me that your daughters of ages 4 and 5 and your wife will gang up on you because you told your daughters it's none of their business? I don't know if you know anything about the way things are these days. But women, even children, little girls, you can't just tell them it's none of your business. They're going to want to know why.
I got to ask a question. Why can't you tell a 4 and a 5-year-old? Why do you even have to tell? Just say it's none of your business. Daddy and mommy are talking. Don't even talk about it.
Well, you're telling me not to talk. I have to talk about it. Why? Because Mr. Bell here put the billboard out on the road, and I'm looking at, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and naturally I'm going to say to my wife and my daughters, did you see that? About putting this meat in your mouth, I got to explain it to you now.
You're going to talk about this to your 4 and 5-year-olds, even though they haven't asked.
What do you mean they haven't asked? I have to assume. Let me ask them, sir. This is Ted Bell. Can they read? Can who? Can what? Who can read? Can your daughters read? No, they're too young. Well, then how do you know they know what that says? Because I'm going to tell them.
Why would you tell them if they can't read?
I don't appreciate you yelling, sir. I called your program. I was being direct, but I wasn't yelling. This is Ted Bell. Why would you tell these girls what it says if they can't read? Who's this? It's Ted Bell. Well, who's the other one?
This is Phil Hendry, sir. I'm sorry that I yelled. Why would you tell your 4 and 5-year-olds what it says?
Because they're going to ask me!
All right, pal. I got to hang up on you.
Oh, yeah, you'll hang up on me.
Wow, man. Wow.
Well, you know, it's your radio show, Phil. I did not, let the record show, I did not put that guy on the air. You did.
Well, that guy is just wound too tight. That's his problem. He ain't even in this world, you know. He's got bigger problems than whether his 4 and 5-year-olds can read billboards.
I agree.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil. Wow.
You talk about rap too tight.
Anyway, we'll be right back here. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Ted Bell's billboard, we want to put our meat in your mouth. Is it too adult, or is it just that we've got filthy minds and we're reading things into it? We'll be back. Phil Hendry
Truth
Show.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, is this Ron? Ronnie?
Yes, sir, Mr. Hendry. I'm awfully sorry that I lost my temper, but I think Mr. Bell was not being fair. Ronnie, I did not mean to gang up on you the way you said your wife and your daughter did, but if your kids can't read, and this is all I'm trying to figure out, if your kids can't read... If my kids can't read, Mr. Bell, which they cannot read, then I have to explain to them what's on the sign.
Why do you have to do that?
Who am I speaking with?
This is Phil Hendry, the host.
Okay, sir, the reason why I'm saying that is because I'm looking at Mr. Bell's sign, and it says, I want to put my meat in your mouth. No, it doesn't. It says, we. All right? And my duty to my wife and to my children is to say to them, that billboard is filth, and it says, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And am I not supposed to say to my wife and to my daughters, he most likely intends you?
Oh, my God.
Why would you do that, sir? I don't understand. Because you're the one that put me in that position, sir.
All right, I want to talk to a gentleman who actually had a comment for you, Ron. His name is David. David's on the line here. Go ahead, David. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell and Ron in San Antonio.
Hey, Phil. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, Ted. How you doing? Hey,
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Thank you. My comment to you, man, you're supposed to be the man of the house there. Why are you so worried about three women or two little girls and your wife ganging up on you? I mean, why is that such a problem for you? You know, when you're supposed to be the man and explain.
How do you explain that then? Well, can you tell me how I'm supposed to explain that? How am I supposed to explain that?
Explain what? We want to put our meat in your mouth.
The sign says, the billboard says we want to put our meat. The billboard says we want to put our meat in your mouth, and I'm supposed to explain that to two little girls?
Well, first of all, 4 and 5, I think, is a little bit too young for them to even fathom what it might mean. But if they were,
that's my point.
If they were to read it and they were to ask, you tell them just like what Ted said. It's a restaurant that serves steak, and they want you to experience by putting the meat in the mouth.
They know I'm going to be. They know I'll be lying. My wife is going to be there.
Why would a little 4-year-old know that
you're... They're 4 and 5 years old. They don't even know what lying is yet. How do they know you're going to be lying? Your wife is going to you off.
If I may say, I'll tell you why. Because my wife is sitting there. My wife is a woman. She'll see that. The kids will see that she's reacting negatively.
What is it with... I want to ask you something, Ron. You and your wife don't seem to have a very good, what we would call in the world, poker face, you know, where you just kind of keep the face blank until you get home, and then you can talk about it like adults.
I don't know what you mean. Do you have children, Mr. Hendry?
I did. I mean, they're all grown up.
Well, did you ever see... And what did you say to them?
I explained to them the best way I could. I said, hey, kids, you know, this is... That's really kind of bad, or that's really, this is what's intended. The kids would ask. If they didn't ask, I would not bring it up.
Well, you must have had some stupid kids.
Oh, okay, sir. Well.
Listen, you're attacking a man's kid's intelligence? Do you have kids? I have one, yes. And what do you say to them? I said I have one. And what do you say to them? Wow, this guy.
He's got one kid.
What do you say to them?
One kid, not them. All right, listen, thanks very much, Ronnie.
Well, you know, I know they don't have the guts.
And thank you very, very much, David, for your contribution to that falderall. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Here is, I believe this is David. Or no, this is John. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Oh, yes. How are you doing? Thank you.
I think that guy's mentally disturbed.
Can I say something?
No, I just want
to
say
that last caller was
mentally disturbed.
Is this Ted Bell?
Hey, don't interrupt me.
It's just Ted.
Hey, Ted.
I just was saying the last guy was mentally disturbed.
Okay.
You mentally disturbed.
Go ahead, John.
You mentally disturbed for coming over there. You actually pay for that advertisement.
Yeah, and you know what? It works. It brings them in by the droves.
It wouldn't work.
It brings them in by the thousands.
It wouldn't work for me. I would keep going if I hadn't seen that billboard. Think about this.
Why not?
You would have better customers. You'd have a better business. And just think how many people you're turning away.
I'm not. How many people do you think I'm turning away, sir? I do a very good business.
You turning away?
Are you? Why would you not? Why would you keep going?
You would do better because I don't want you putting your meat in your mouth. Come on, that's ignorant advertising.
You don't want to put your meat in your mouth.
You acting like a moron.
You sound like a jackass. I don't think you even know what a good steak is. You know what you think a good steak is? Sizzler.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you go back to Sizzler and have yourself a steak?
Uh-huh. It would be better than yours.
Okay, well, this was a pointless call. But anyway, thanks for calling, sir. You did not very well. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Why don't you do better screening on your phone calls?
What are you talking about? The guy wanted to talk to you.
Yeah. Sounded like Is that one of these characters that you do, or is that
877? No, it isn't. 877-876-PHIL. We'll move on here to David. David, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Phil. I'm going to be very respectful, and I'm going to make it short because that remark to me, having grown up kids and who like to question you and try to understand stuff like that. That is just very sexual, straight up.
No, it is. No, it is only to people with a filthy mind. Only if you have a filthy mind.
No, sir.
Yes.
No, with what's going on in this world nowadays and in our society, I come from a background where stuff like that is just not said at all. I'm sorry if you don't find it that way, sir. I apologize.
All I'm trying to say is the following thing. If you see that on a billboard and your kid asks you, what does that mean, what are you going to say?
No, I mean, a billboard like that would have description. Maybe it'll show you a steak or so. So that doesn't... But if it's just written,
This is your billboard,
your
right, Ted?
Yeah, it's my billboard, and all it says is, Ted's of Beverly Hills, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And then there's a picture of a beautiful woman.
Oh, come on, man. That can only mean one thing.
What a... You got a real sewer for a mind. You know that? Both of you guys.
Both of us, huh?
Yeah. You and this David.
Yes, sir.
Really. Yeah, go to... Are you Catholic? Go to confession. Clean your brain up. There's nothing wrong with advertising.
I am a church-going person.
You're a whole church?
Church.
Okay.
You ask anybody, take a vote on that, and they'll let you know.
Bullcrap.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they don't dare. Of course, we have our website, philhendryshow.com. That's where you can go and get live video of the show right now. If you're watching the show, then you know this. You're watching Phil TV in HD. And on occasion, of course, on Phil TV in HD, we are showing you clips of this, that, something else, things that might be in the news. During our news and information hour, we do that. But you can just watch us performing the show. You get a backstage pass. You can hear all of our archive material. And by the way, tonight at midnight, we announce the winner of our free BSP for the month of February, because at the stroke of midnight will be the first day of February, which is Black History Month and Phil History Month. So at midnight, we'll announce the winner of our free BSP. On the line with us here from Beverly Hills, California, is our very good friend Ted Bell, as we talk about the advertising slogan of his restaurant that's gotten a little bit of heat.
Thank you very much, Phil. This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I'll tell you something. As long as there is breath in my body, as long as there's breath in my soul, we've got dinner to serve you. We want to put our meat in your mouth. Go ahead.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
There it is. We want to put our meat in your mouth. That's what has caused the controversy. That's what's caused some of the people. And I mentioned the names of these individuals, which you sort of poo-pooed, Ted.
Leaders in the Southern California area, and I don't think that there's any secret to the fact that these people can, at the drop of a hat, marshal the forces of God knows how many phone callers.
We haven't been exactly, you know, I know how that game is played, so I don't get swayed by phone calls, believe me.
But when you get a letter from a religious leader, then, Phil, and I respect you, but I think you tend to get... I think you tend to get a little shy. I think you tend to get a little schoolmarmish.
I get schoolmarmish when?
When you get a letter from anybody that has a theologian, you know, attached to his name. And I think that what I said to the gentleman who called last hour, when that man was... and by the way, I want to say something right now. I'm sick to my stomach of NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and I want to make a comment about that at some point. Is that okay?
Yeah. Why?
Because I see there's sex and...
What?
Never mind. I'm disgusted by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration allowing sex. And I mean, you know what I'm talking about. To take place inside the cabins of these weightless aircraft. You know what I'm saying?
No, I do not know what you're saying.
All right, well, I guess that makes me sound like I'm insane, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Let's get back to...
Well, all right, Phil, can I explain?
No, I want to get back to this. We'll talk about the rest of it.
All right, well, I just...
What I'm saying is, we want to put our meat in your mouth is a slogan that we have had for many, many years, and because I've gotten pressure from people to take that slogan off of our billboard or to take that slogan off of our advertising, I will not do it, and I don't want to appear as if I'm not working with the public on this, but, you know, when a man's driving down the road, and that guy that I talked to there from San Antonio, really, and he screamed, you could tell he had mental issues. And
well, he was saying that he didn't want to have to talk about it in front of his daughters, but he'd have to because his wife would probably spill the beans. His whole thing, you know.
Well, his thing was that he had three, quote, women in the car. Well, he's got one woman and a 4- and a 5-year-old. And he said that he couldn't, that he'd be ganged up on. I understand how it is. But I dare say that I would not. I think I'd have a hard time with a 4- to 5-year-old.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to a phone call. On the line we have Lori. Hi, Lori. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Hello, ma'am. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Sorry about that.
This is Ted Bell.
I would like to say, first off, I would never censor you because we live in the United States, and I do believe that it's our great right to never have to be censored, but I do agree with a lot of people in thinking that it is inappropriate in the fact that you know what many people think, even though it's not, it's mostly dirty-minded people, but it's not even that.
Yes.
This world has brought us to this point where a lot of people immediately think that, and I think individuals that knowingly put that stuff out there, knowing the controversy that it's going to create, and knowingly continue to advertise that way, I just don't think it's a correct thing, and it's going to eventually bring this world to a very bad place, one step at a time.
Ma'am, this is Ted Bell. Are you saying that because I've got an advertising slogan that I paid top dollar for and that has been effective in driving business to my restaurant, you're saying that I still need to get rid of it because some people have a sewer for a mind?
I'm not saying that you need to get rid of it. I'm saying that it's sad that the world has come to this point where we're continuing to allow, not to allow, but that people just put that out there in the world for everyone to see. I'm sure you probably have a sexy woman on there, and then there's meat. A lot of people are going to
meat. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
They're going to instantly think that. I mean, whether it's right or wrong, of course it's going to bring business to you because sex sells.
Right.
But,
can I tell you something? Because this is very interesting advertising. When I was a kid, and you sound like a very young lady, you may not know this, the name of this group, but when I was a kid, I was a very big fan of a group called Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Sabbath had a member of their band, and his name was Geezer Butler, all right? Now, they were British, and so, but when I was a kid, the term geezer meant a guy that used heroin. And when I heard his name was Geezer Butler, I developed a heroin habit because I wanted to be like Black Sabbath.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. And my father, Phil, my dear father, is the one that got me off of that and got me on this. My father was an alcoholic. So I learned that a weak mind, a mind that you and I, Lori, we would never want to be around a mind like that. A weak, sniveling mind will take anything.
If we want to protect other people, if we care about other people, we want to protect those weak minds. I mean, I know this
probably
people in my family.
Let me bring on this gentleman, Ron, who I think you got him on hold, Phil.
I didn't know we were going to put him back on the air.
I want to put him back. But, Ron, are you there? I'm right here, yeah. All right, would you explain to this lady? Ma'am, my name is Ron Beautreve, and I am a father. I live in San Antonio, Texas. I saw this billboard that said, we want to put our meat in your mouth. I had my 4- and my 5-year-old daughters with me. I had my wife with me. I immediately pulled the car over because I was a little bit in shock and told my wife, did you see that? And my wife and I began discussing it. And the next thing you know, I've got a 4-year-old in me standing up on the back seat in my ear saying, "Discuss, what are you talking about, Daddy?" And wouldn't shut up.
And before I knew it, I had three women. All of them wanted to know about a meat and putting it in your mouth and everything. This is what I'm trying to say to Mr.
As a father, you have to be the adult, and you have to stand up and be the man of your family and protect them from things like that. All you need to say is that it's inappropriate. Many people will take it as inappropriate. It's not necessarily inappropriate, but we need to guard our minds from things like that for those that put that out there.
Well, I was trying to. I was trying to do that. I was trying to do that, Lori.
How are you trying to do that, sir?
Well, I was doing hand signs to my wife. I didn't want the kids to see. So, for instance, when I saw the sign that says "We want to put our meat in your mouth," I opened my mouth and I'm going pointing to it. My daughters immediately.
At that point, you should have said, "This is not a discussion for now. If we want to discuss this, we can discuss this at home." Because I know that's what my husband would have done. He would have not brought that up in front of children.
I did not bring it up. I didn't bring it up in front of... Yes, ma'am. I didn't bring it up in front of children because I was using hand signals. And so I was saying to my wife, I don't know how to do it on the radio, but I was...
In a car with young children is inappropriate.
Yes.
Completely.
If you're pointing to your mouth, sir, and going,
This is... Now I agree with Mr. Bell. Now I agree with Mr. Bell when he says people have nothing but septic tanks inside their skull.
I agree.
But wait a second. Lori, you say you agree, but this guy has got a 4 to 5 year old, and he's going pointing to his mouth, and doing all of this inappropriate stuff.
Yes,
I've been listening to this guy. He is not necessarily the famous person in the world.
I see. Okay, I see. So in other words, I'm the father, I've got the daughters, I've got the wife, but all of you people are going to judge me like I'm a monkey in a locked ward. Okay, thank you.
I do apologize, sir. I personally did not mean to judge you, but I do think it's inappropriate to talk about that. You may, to your adult wife, you can
I agree.
Speak to that,
I agree with Lori.
To your adult children.
Yeah. I agree with Lori.
Well, Lori, and I agree with you, Lori, as well. But I'm saying it's got nothing to do with that. It has to do with steak, and it doesn't have not when I have to go and point to my mouth and put my
Sir, you're disgusting. Hang on, Lori. Thank you very much for your call too. Appreciate it very, very much. 877-876 Phil, here on a world famous Phil Hendry show. Yes, sir. We're going to a break.
You're saying that I'm disgusting because I went. My wife wanted to know, and I said, you know how you talk? And I went, I was doing that.
He's a moron. Not only is he a moron, but I can see why maybe the kids are smarter than him. Probably the little girls who are 4 and 5 go, okay, Dad, we'll take it from here. What's the problem? Because you're a blithering idiot, and we know you're going to butcher it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. World-famous Phil Hendry Show here, talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on why his slogan, "We want to put our meat in your mouth," is meeting so much resistance and so much protest from many of our listeners and other advertisers. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, I feel that the First Amendment of the United States of America is very important. And if I want to put an advertising slogan on my restaurant that I think is going to bring you into the restaurant, then we all feel we have those rights.
Ted Bell with us here. Thank you, Ted. And we have people calling, and, you know, people are agreeing. People are disagreeing with the advertising slogan.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is, Phil, I appreciate people's opinion. I really do. But I don't. You know, it doesn't really have much effect because I have a right, I have a constitutional right to put onto my business a slogan, an advertising gimmick of some kind that I feel is going to draw business. It's my business.
Right, but you don't want to do anything overtly sick.
No, of course I wouldn't want to.
All right, your billboard says we want to put our meat in your mouth. You have a picture of a girl in a bathing suit.
She's a model.
And it says Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Right.
Now, couldn't somebody confuse that for some strip joint or...
I beg your pardon?
Well, what I meant by that is...
Whoa. I beg your pardon. See, understand what you're saying, Phil. You're calling my restaurant a steakhouse that is patronized by some very serious industry people as well as families from across the city. And you're telling me that my billboard looks like I'm inviting people to Cheetahs or to Olympic Gardens or something like that?
I don't know. I mean, is there a steak?
Boy, I don't know what to say to you.
I'm just asking. How do people know it's a steakhouse?
Because it says Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. That's what it says.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. That was my only question, and I apologize. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here. We got Stacy on the line. Stacy, go ahead. You're on with Ted Bell.
Hey, Ted.
I'm sorry to raise my voice.
Yeah, that's no problem. I just can't believe you really. I don't know. I don't think you should let people get to you like this. It is your business. You're going to have lovers. You're going to have haters. And this has been going on forever. Society's allowed us to think this way, and there's nothing wrong with it. I was driving down the road. I couldn't believe what I heard when I heard your jingle. But at the same time, I was also thinking about other things at the same time. So Victoria's Secret can't have half-naked mannequins because that's going to sell sex, and we're going to have to explain that to the children who are 45
riding
out in that car. Do I need to explain to my children why I'm going into that store and why I'm buying what that model's wearing? I don't think so.
Exactly. And you look at, I looked up some advertising slogans that could be interpreted in a less than family way. You may remember there was a time when M&M's had do you know M&M's, the candy? You know the candy?
Yeah.
They used to say, melts in your mouth, not in your hand. Now, I can take that and turn that into something that is so depraved and base that, you know, the devil himself would swing the gates of hell open for the manufacturers of M&M's. You can laugh if you want, but see, I'm the guy that's being persecuted.
Oh, no.
Hold on.
Yeah, and here's another one. Just another one. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Remember Colonel Sanders, the chicken place? They used to have a slogan called Finger Licking Good. Now, you could turn that into, I'd be afraid to just walk up to somebody and say Finger Licking Good because I'd probably take a knee to the genitals.
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah, perception and interpretation are powerful tools, and it
exactly.
Uses us on a daily basis in unfair bias, and especially during political times. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I totally get what you were implying. If you want
so
to
you agree with,
taste,
yeah.
Totally get
yeah.
the taste of the rainbow. It implies, the rainbow's always been a sign of gay patriotism, all that.
Of gay, yeah, there you go, gay patriotism.
So I'll say it on the radio, and you know what? He's right, but he's feeding. I do think, unfortunately, he gets to feed into it a little. But I'm also, I'm sorry.
How am I feeding into it? I mean, I'm trying to defend my business, you know.
Exactly.
And when the guy said, taste the rainbow, and I'm like, do we have to expose our kids to every gay issue?
That's a Skittles advertising slogan. You don't know that?
Okay. And mine is a steakhouse, but you want to turn it into a slogan for a bordello.
Yes, they're turning it into something it's not.
Exactly.
All right, let me get Ron back on the line. We have this father from San Antonio on the line. Ron, are you there?
I'm right here, yeah.
Okay, Ron, you heard the discussion, and we have on the line here Stacy. What do you say?
Well, I can tell you right now that I'm listening to you people, but I'm not believing it. I've got a 4 and a 5-year-old daughter. And no matter how hard I tried to cover up the meaning of we want to put our meat in your mouth, my daughters were immediately standing on the back seat looking at me like I was stupid.
I don't want to
you were
stupid at all, but the conversation, like the last lady said, I've got a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old boy, and there is something that society used to respect and allow, and that was less is more. In a conversation where it's appropriate and or where it's not, you were secretly trying to get your wife to understand what you were seeing and
yes.
adjust.
Well, of course.
And see that,
yes,
and
ma'am.
See that you didn't agree and that you had a disgusted opinion of it.
Yes, ma'am.
And I totally get that. I totally can respect
right.
your side of that. But at the same time, you know, you can stop that conversation. You're the adult and you're in control. I've stopped
well,
many conversations like that that could have happened with me and my best friend as we see something that's sexual innuendos or something that's not.
I want to ask Ron. Let me ask Ron. What did you do, Ron, that was trying to hide it?
The first thing that I did, Mr. Henry, is I pulled the car over because I was shaken. I couldn't believe I saw a sign that says we want to. Is the lady there?
I am, sorry.
Okay. What were you doing?
I was coughing and clearing my throat. I'm on my headset.
Well,
sorry.
It sounded like were you laughing at me?
No, I'm serious. I'm not.
You were laughing at me.
I will if you want me to, but I wasn't. I was clearing
yeah,
my throat.
Take it easy, Ron, okay? Can we?
All right, well, I pulled the car over because I was shaken, and I said to my wife, I made a signal like I didn't want to talk about it, but I pointed to my mouth. I opened my mouth, and I don't know how to describe this that you'll allow it on the radio, but I made a circular fingers and just went, ah.
To say that on the radio? And
oh, my God, no, I didn't. Oh, my God, no, I did. No, I did not, ma'am. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, my God.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills. Steakhouse, come on down.
This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we have Ron. Ron's with us, who does not agree with me using the slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth, but we've been using it for a long time now.
Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
There you go. I don't know. I can tell you right now, I don't think that it's right. And I've mentioned that to a couple of the people that I had called the station about.
You were in Los Angeles.
I was in Southern California with my wife and my daughters. We're visiting the grandparents, my wife's parents. And that's when we saw Mr. Bell's billboard. But where were you? We were on the 405 freeway. All right, well, you saw the one on the west side. That's right. And at that time when I saw that, I was a little stunned because I've never seen we want to put our meat in your mouth on a billboard. And I said to my wife, can you believe? And I realized the kids were in the back seat, so I began to use the hand gestures. And you put your finger and your thumb together as in a circle. That's correct. And I moved it back and forth.
Well, you know what? I don't expect that little children are going to understand what that means, but I don't know why you even needed to bring it up. That's my point.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Phil. When you have a stinking, backed-up toilet for a mind, and, excuse me, sir, I don't have a stinking, backed-up toilet for a mind. I have a father of two children. I'm a father of a little boy. Well, I've got two daughters, and I think it's a lot different when you've got little daughters who look up at a billboard and they see what you've got up there.
Well, it's a lady in a bathing suit.
Yeah, with the slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth. Again, I got to ask you the question, sir. Do your daughters read? Are they able to read? No, they're 4 and 5 years old.
Then how did they know what it said?
They didn't know what it said until I had to pull over to just get my bearings after seeing something like that. And that's when I said to my wife, did you see that?
And she said, no, I didn't. And I saw my daughters were looking at me, and I went, and I did the thing with my mouth. I just pointed my mouth going, ah. And you gentlemen can laugh if you want. No, I'm not laughing, sir. I am trying to understand what you did. In order for her to understand what I was talking about, I made a noise that she would understand.
What noise?
I don't, sir, want to tell you that. It's none of your business. Well, I mean, he's talking about a gag replay. Excuse me, that's none of your business, sir.
Come on, Ted. You know what, man? Why make it filthy when you say that it is filthy or it isn't? Why make it that way?
What? It's not filthy.
Then why make it like that? 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let me get over to a phone call here as we're talking to you and to, God dang. Trying to, you know, oh, never mind. Anyway, let's get over to a phone caller we have here. Paul, go ahead. Paul, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, I think the problem is that he used a young, sexy-looking model, because Dave Thomas made millions with a 70-year-old lady with knee-high stockings on and her bridge hat thing. Where's the beef? So if the lawmakers in that area attack you, just change it from we want to put our meat in your mouth to we want to put our beef in your mouth and see what they say. Do you guys know who...
Well, there's a big difference, sir, though. I understand your point, and I appreciate that. But there is a big difference between an old lady and a sexy model.
What
and, you know, we're not sitting here saying that... I really don't know what you're getting at. Well, I can tell you what he's getting at. He wants to have it be about... It's still going in the mouth. Of course it is.
It's still going in the mouth. And Dave Thomas made millions by getting you to put beef in your mouth. And what's the difference?
Dave Thomas didn't say put beef in your mouth. That's my slogan. No, Dave Thomas said, where's the beef?
Exactly. And what he's saying is in your mouth. What's the difference? This 70-year-old lady saying, where's the beef? Where's the beef?
I agree.
You can turn it into anything you want to turn it into. He's simply saying, where's the meat? It's at my restaurant. Come
right,
eat it.
Right.
That's all
right.
He's saying.
And so Paul is agreeing with you, Ted, but Ron, Paul disagrees with you.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm going to go back to saying what I had said before, that I've got two girls in the car who...
You're not prepared to raise girls. You're not prepared to be a father. Because
I beg your pardon.
What you did, because actually what you did, someone could turn around and turn call Child Protective Services on you.
Are you out of your mind?
Oh, yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
You said that you took a 4- and 5-year-old, opened your mouth, and did some gesture as if you were performing oral sex. And
no, sir, I did not. No, I did not. No. I did it to my wife. No, sir, I was talking to my wife. The girls were overhearing it.
Oh, but hold up. But you don't think a 4- and 5-year-old are watching their dad and mother in a such engaged conversation? Listen, if a 70-year-old lady in knee-high stockings and her bridge hat can say, where's the beef, why can't he have a 60? There's a baker... Commercial baker named Mrs. Smith. You all guys know Mrs. Smith, right? She's in every frozen food section in America. Now,
well, you're talking about Sarah Lee or something like that.
Okay, Sarah Lee. If I go to Sarah Lee and say, Mrs. Lee, can I have some of your pie? You think she's gonna drop her drawers? Come on, guys.
Well, I appreciate what the gentleman's saying. This is Ted, Paul. What he's saying? No, hold on. I want to say something here, Paul. If you're telling me that an old lady wanting, you know, the beef, and a sexy young model wanting the meat, boy, okay, knock yourself out.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
This guy thinks an old lady going for the beef is going to gun his engine. I'm talking about something serious.
Wait a second. What the gentleman was saying, there is a sexual innuendo no matter what.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this guy here, Paul. Are you saying when the old lady, that Clara Peller, whoever that old lady was, and by the way, Dave Thomas, everybody loves to kiss his rear end. You know what? On my worst day, I do more business than that guy. But anyway.
Okay, let's not knock a guy that's not here, okay?
Oh, well.
Listen,
I didn't want to do that. Let me just say something. Let me just say. The old lady with the
if he took his commercial and put an old lady in it and said, "We want to put our beef in your mouth," would that be acceptable to you?
I don't know about you, Paul, but I've got a mother. I've got a grandmother. Oh, my God. And now you want my 4-year-old girl to look at a grandmother taking Ted's beef.
Okay, now that you want your mother and grandmother.
Oh, my God. I got to tell you. You know, this is the most asinine conversation.
All right, Mr. Henry, I've got a 4- and a 5-year-old.
Yeah, you've told me you've got a 4- and a 5-year-old. And instead of just ignoring it, Paul, I appreciate your call. I got to move on. Instead of just waiting till you got home, you know.
I'm not going to wait till I got home when I see something so glaringly wrong with the world. And that's Mr. Ted Bell with, "I want to put my meat in your mouth." Sir, that is about a steak. I've been telling everyone that's about a steak. You can tell everyone it's about a steak when you got a billboard with a woman and she's dressed like she's dressed for the champagne room. Oh, get out of here. That's exactly what she's dressed for, the champagne room. And I've got a 4-year-old daughter who's leaning in and in my ear saying, "What are you talking about? What are the two of you? Come on, tell what, like that. What do you want me to do, backhand her?" Hey, let me tell you what. If I had a 4-year-old daughter who was butting into my adult conversation, I wouldn't backhand her, but I would, let me put it to you this way. I'd get out a handy wipe and start wiping off the back of one hand just, you know, so she'd get the message. Whatever. You know, sir, you could say whatever. You think you're the father of the year with your two little girls. I've got a 13-year-old son that I've had to explain some things to. And let me tell you, even though it's a model in a bathing suit, and even though, yes, with a 13-year-old boy, it's probably something that you might clap him on the back and say, "Someday, son, all of that is yours." Okay, go ahead, laugh. Still, you want him to treat that woman with respect, even after he's, well, I guess I'm getting in a little deep, but I was going to say even after he shows her a billfold, but
come on.
You guys think that this is disrespecting a woman is funny. I have two daughters. Yeah, we get it already about your daughters. God, you and your daughters, pal. You think there's something wrong with me having daughters? Frankly, yes. Say that again. Frankly, yes. Why? Well, to be honest with you, I don't know whether you are competent to have daughters. You heard what the one lady said. Well, I will say this. I wouldn't disrespect you and say you're not competent to have a son, but you're probably not competent enough to have a wife that you don't even know what to do with her. Well, now you've gotten on the fighting side of me. Yeah? That's right.
Okay, gentlemen, enough. Enough, enough. 877-876-PHIL. Now you've gotten on the fighting side of me. Where are we going here, man? Let's go to Dan. Hey, Dan, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell and Ron. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Phil. Ted,
yes,
I'm
sir.
Going to Miami in 3 weeks. I hope to visit your restaurant, and I want to put your meat in my mouth. Send your
you
ad
go.
Agency an extra 10%, will you? They did an excellent job. Ron, I'm glad Paul said it before I did. If I saw you pulled over on the side of the road, making those gestures, doing that in front of those kids, I would have called the police.
Why? What are you going to do? What are you going to tell the police? That the man was doing hand gestures?
Absolutely.
And when the cops laugh and hang up on you.
You pointed something out. Those children had no idea what was going on. You brought it to their attention.
And when the cops laugh and hang up on you, what are you going to do there?
If a teacher had done that, you would have saw that teacher charged. You should not be doing that. You should not have.
No, maybe in your burg. Maybe up in your burg, but I'm a father, and I've got two daughters. And when this guy puts a billboard up, see, you are defending a guy that wants to plunge the toilet of his mind and scoop it up and throw it up on a billboard. That's what you want to do. And I'm saying he doesn't get to do that. No, sir, not on my watch. So when I see that billboard, and I pull
First Amendment,
over and I tell...
tough one.
Oh, yeah, First Amendment. In other words, let's have a strip joint 2 feet from a school. That's First Amendment, too, right?
That doesn't pertain to, Ron.
Well, I think you need to know your law, sir. You want to put a Playboy magazine right there, a Playboy magazine rack right next to a little kid?
All right, let's not talk about that, because we're not talking about that, Ron. We're talking about a man that's got a steakhouse. And by the way, you know, you can travel any freeway in Southern California or anywhere. I don't know where Dan's from. Any major metropolitan area. And you will see billboards for gentlemen's clubs.
You bet.
For strip clubs.
Absolutely.
You know, and they're not tasteless. They're tasteful. They have a phone number, and they've got beautiful women. But there's nothing that I would say that is obscene.
Well, do they say we want to go ahead and put our meat in your mouth?
It's a steakhouse, man. A steakhouse.
Thank you. But, Ron, what you want to do is, I respect you for being a father, but you want to make a simple situation worse. So you pulled over, and instead of just saying, hey, I'll talk about it, honey, when we get home, good thing the kids didn't see it, you pull over, and you're going, I didn't say, But what did you do? I said to my wife, I said, the billboard that we just saw over there, and then I went, I made a gagging sound. Okay, you guys can laugh about that. And
you made a gagging sound?
Yes.
Boy, I'll tell you, man, this guy, Dan, is right.
I think so.
Why would you have
He's right
that
about what?
A 4- and 5-year-old girl.
A cop sees...
Because I wanted my wife to understand. Are you guys listening to me, or is this
you
just your way
this
of...
to your wife as well? You have to explain this to your wife. Your wife is not adult enough that she figured it out on her own, or had
she didn't see the
billboard. She didn't have the same impression of the billboard that you did then.
She
right?
didn't see it, sir. She didn't see it.
Then why did you even point it out? Why did you bring it
yeah.
up? It seems like
I knew the kids
like should have been left alone.
Do you live with? Do you have daughters? If you live with three women, as I do, you know that sooner or later they're going to be. They won't leave you alone until you lock yourself in a closet. Hey, Daddy,
so
what
why
billboard?
Would you
hey,
bring up the billboard? Couldn't you have brought up another subject?
I knew sooner or later they
billboard?
Wouldn't leave me alone. Because I knew they, sooner or later they wouldn't leave me alone
up
about
the
it.
The billboard and showing, animating, miming oral
right.
sex was what? The right type of entertainment?
Why even bring it up? Why not wait? If you say the kids are going to bring it up, why not wait until they bring it up?
Oh, yeah, sure. Right when I'm in the middle of watching... Oh, forget it.
Oh, right in the middle of your TV viewing, your daughters are going to come in and say, hey, Daddy, can we talk to you?
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Well,
all right.
You know what? All three of you guys, you, Mr. Hendry, this man, Dan, and you, Mr. Bell, you know something? I'm very, very happy that I'm going to be here enjoying a cup of lemonade when the three of you are probably meeting the devil at the gates of hell and getting your seating assignments.
That was
I'll
beautiful.
Be in good company. I will be in very
All right, man. Thanks for your call, Dan. 877. Oh, boy, we cut off Ted there. 877. I'll be having a cup of lemonade, and the three of you will be getting your seating assignments in hell. 877-876-PHIL, world famous. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The
so
Phil Hendry Show.
You really are.
Oh, relax, will you?
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Everything that they were doing.
All right, hold on, Ron, hold on. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're on with a gentleman by the... Ron, I don't even know your last name.
My last name, Phil, is Ron Burlingame, but we live in San Antonio. We were in California. I remember asking the man what his confusion was. He said, well, you know, how do you know there's no Ted of Beverly Hills in San Antonio? I wouldn't have one in San Antonio, sir. If you're an example of the citizenry there... Well, thank you very much for that insult. And you have taken my advertising for an honest business, and you've turned it into something profane and foul. You've turned it into, I think what you, didn't you say that I need to take a toilet plunger to my head? I said you needed to take a toilet plunger, yes, figuratively speaking, yes. That you need to take a toilet plunger to your head to suck some of the toilet mess out of it and slap it on a billboard. Yeah. Tony, you think, are you paying me a compliment? No, I'm not at all. Then why would I want you or any of your kind to come into my restaurant? Believe me when I tell you, mister, I wouldn't come into your restaurant, okay? That's the whole point I'm trying to make here. And
well, all right, look, you guys are going round and round here, but the fact is you are upset with the advertising. You would not go into that restaurant. But I think what you've done here, Ron, is you've taken it a step further here. You are talking about how you communicated it to your daughter. You're talking about how you communicated it to your wife.
That's right. I communicated it the best way that I knew how. What I said was to Cassie and to Eleanor, I said, I didn't say anything to them, but I knew they were in a back seat. I looked at their mother, all right, and I said to my wife, look, we just passed a billboard. And
what is your wife's name?
I'd rather not say what my wife's name is, if you don't mind.
Well, you've given us your daughter's names.
No. Well, you just broke the anonymity of your daughter. What's your wife's name? And why would you? Well, boy, you're really anxious to know that, huh? Are you want to get her up on a billboard?
Oh, come on, grow up.
No, I just want to know what her name is. Her name's Cindy. Okay. God. Well, I mean, you're all wanting to know everyone's name. I don't want to get, sir, I'm a family man, and I'm a businessman, and I would never want to disrespect any man's family. You, on the other hand, with all due respect, you sound like a blithering idiot. Okay, thank you. I'm not offending you or anything, am I? With every word out of your mouth.
All right, hold on. So, you were making a point here, Ron, about what?
About when I said to Mr. Bell, I said, if you're going to take a toilet plunger to your head in a figurative way, that's what you'd have to do. That's what I'd have to do what? To get a slogan out of your skull like we want to put it in the mouth. We want to put it in the mouth? The meat is what I'm saying. All right. And you would have to take a toilet plunger to your skull to get the material needed.
All right, we understand that Mr. Bell has a sewer system up there between his ears.
No, I didn't say sewers. I said a toilet. Big difference. All right, there's a big difference. And I think the point is made that I have garbage between my ears. More than garbage. So now, when I see a billboard that says we want to put our meat in your mouth, and I know that's from the Ted's of Beverly Hills restaurant, I'm going to go the other way. Good. I hope you do. And you don't care. No, I do not care, sir. I don't want you in my restaurant. And I'll tell you one other thing, too. Now, just hearing your comments, I wouldn't want you. I wouldn't want your kids in my restaurant. I don't want your entire family because I don't know what you've done to the minds of those children who now think that, you know, and you're in a gag reflex. I had to let my wife know what was on the billboard, so I went like that. And she knows what that means. She better.
Phil
does it every night.
Why, you dirty.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows. They wish they could, but they just don't have the cojones, huh? They just ain't got it. So we got it, and, you know, and we'll keep on having it.
Yeah, we got it, man. We'll give it to you, too.
We've got it, and we'll give it to you. Yeah. Well, it's not a disease.
No, but we got it. They can have it if they want, but they don't have to have it.
Yeah, we got it, but you don't have to have it. Why don't you guys just let me do this? In any event, our number is 877. We got it, but we'll give it to you. 877-876-7445. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and online at philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you are opened up to yet another level of the Phil Henry Show with our video casts, with our uncensored rants. We just put Chris Puté up on demand. Chris Puté's, what does he call his show? Chris Puté's Unbelievably Soft Hits, something like that. So if you miss Chris Puté, I think in this episode he is shot and killed by police who enter the studio at the end because he held his screener hostage for screwing up something in his love song dedication. So check out Chris Puté there on our website. 877-876-PHIL. Bringing on now Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. We want to talk to them because we have alluded a little bit to it. We want to talk to them about Proposition 8 being overturned here in the state of California. Bobby, how you doing?
Phil, I'm a lot better. I had a very difficult day.
Well, I'd like to hear about that. And Steve, how are you?
I'm a lot better too.
What happened?
Well, I want you and I want your listeners, Phil, to understand that I'm doing fine. I'm doing very, very well. So I don't want to scare anyone because the news that I have to impart to you, Phil, is a little troubling.
Okay.
Phil, I was raped today.
Good God.
And I want to thank a young man who came to my defense. And he was a young gay man, and I knew this because he was with his partner. He came, both of them were getting into a parked car. I was getting into my car and literally grabbed a hold of the man who had been attacking me and tried to hold him along with the other gentleman that he was with. But this man got away.
So, Bobby, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, I want people to know, first of all, you've really got to be aware. And second of all, thank God this young man was there to help me.
And he was gay, Mr. Henry, and I...
Well, I mean, anybody can... I mean, heroes come in all shapes and sizes, all genders, all orientations.
No question about that, sir.
Absolutely, Phil. And I'm... If someone had to be raped today, I'm glad it was me. I'm serious, because... This young man, on this day that Proposition 8 was declared unconstitutional, this young man, a gay man, and his partner, came to my rescue.
Bobby, I have you been to the doctor?
Well, I want to tell you something.
Okay.
I'm only kidding about all of that.
Yeah.
You're only kidding about... What are you kidding about?
I wasn't raped.
No, she wasn't raped.
Why would you say that to me?
Because I'm making a point, Phil, and I want you to listen to the point that I'm making.
And you were not raped.
No, I was not raped.
No, she wasn't in a parking garage, right?
No.
You just came on my program. Do you know that the people that you frightened with that statement?
Oh, Phil, I didn't frighten anyone. I didn't tell them where I was, and I didn't...
Frighten who?
Frighten? It's just a piece of fright. It's a frightening word, for God's sake. When you said that, Bobby, I was scared for you. I've had an emotional reaction. I had a physical reaction almost.
Well, that's between you and your creator, Phil.
Between my... What does that mean, me and my creator?
It's between you and your creator. It's between you and your God.
Whatever God you worship.
What has that got to do... I don't understand that comment at all. You said to me, I was raped today.
I remember what I said, Phil.
Okay, and I had a reaction to that. I had a visceral reaction to that. I felt angry. I felt terribly sad for you.
I appreciate that, Phil.
Well, if I did, I know for a fact my listeners did, too.
And I appreciate that. I do. I truly do. I don't think it was wasted energy, because what I did was I got you to recognize that gay people can be heroes, too.
Right.
You didn't get me to recognize anything. First of all, you know...
Yes, I did, Phil. Yes, I did. And
no, you did not. No, you didn't.
Well, again, Mr. Harris, like Bobby said, that's something between you and your creator.
What is that? I don't understand what it said. That's between me and my creator. Like, this is a moral choice I'm making?
In a lot of ways, it is, Phil, yeah.
No, it's no. There's no moral choice. You said to me, and I'm still outraged, I was raped today. And I'm like, my God.
Phil, you don't have to beat it into the ground, all right? Try to get more mileage out of it. I already know what I said. And
I am going to play this back for myself in my own mind. I'm playing it back in the minds of my listeners so they can understand what you said. You were raped today, and two gay men came to your rescue, and now you tell me the whole thing is horse dung.
No, this is it. No, it's not horse dung.
It's not, as you call it, horse dung, because what I was doing was I was... saying, look how we can all be heroes, even gay people, on this day that Proposition 8 has been overturned.
Why not bring up something that actually happened? You know?
Like what?
Like some real thing that happened.
Well, Mr. Henry, people are not going to get their attention.
I'll do it. I've got it, Steve. Phil, I did it the way I did it to grab your attention, as Steve just indicated, and to grab the attention of your listeners. I have been listening to your program tonight. I think you're a wonderful broadcaster, Phil. I think I was going to be in trouble if I came on your program if I didn't grab the attention of your listeners.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, whatever you think, Ms. Dooley.
Oh, well, don't be a child, Phil.
No, you know, don't give me this horse crap about how, well, I had to do something dramatic because you were laying such an egg tonight. You know?
Well, I'm just telling you my opinion.
Well, come on there, Mr. I'm not saying laying an egg.
Well, that's exactly what she's saying. So what she did was, in order to get the attention of the audience that I've been blowing off here by laying this egg tonight, she comes on here and she says, "Hi, Phil. Oh, it's been a tough day. I was raped today."
That's right, yes.
That is, you know what that is? That is an assault on...
Don't you dare do that.
No, no, you're not going to go there, Mr. Henry.
No, that's an assault on any woman that actually has been attacked.
How dare you? How dare you say...
Well, what's wrong with me saying that?
Because I didn't do anything other than grab the audience by the throat and shake them awake and say, "Look at me. Look at me. I'm Bobby Dooley, and I have something to say to you." Now, Phil, you've known me for a long time. Have you ever known me not to come on the air and grab the audience and slap them awake?
You are a controversial guest, yes.
That's what I needed to do. I needed to get on this radio show tonight, take your audience by its collective collar, if you will, and slap them really until they started to cry.
You had to get some kind of attention, too.
Well, Ms. Dooley, I will tell you this. I think that what you've probably done is you've damaged my audience this way. You've probably got people out there now who are never going to believe a thing I say ever again.
Well, what makes you think that's important? The important part...
Well, let me make that decision, okay? You know...
But the important part, Phil, is that they are compelled to listen. And
I'll be the decider as to what makes them compelled to listen and what doesn't. And I don't need you coming on my show and saying, "Boy, what a rough day today, Phil. I was raped." And then saying, "Oh, well, I'm only kidding." Well, whatever she said, you know.
Well, she said, "I want to tell you something, Mr. Henry. I'm only kidding."
That's what I said, yeah.
All right, so, fine. That's what you said. "I want to tell you something, Phil. I'm only kidding." The fact of the matter is, that's nothing to kid about.
Well, I knew you'd say that. Did you say that? We knew you'd say that. That's nothing to kid about. Phil, we are here to make the point that the overruling, that the ruling as unconstitutional Proposition 8 is a great thing for the state of California. Two gay men saved me from being raped today, even though it never happened. Now, what does that mean? I'll tell you. It means that I had your audience believing that I was saved from a violent act today by two brave gay men.
And now we know it didn't happen.
Well, yes, it did. It happened in the minds of your listeners, and really in my mind, for those minutes that it did happen. I believed it.
I did too.
I really believed what I was saying, even though I knew I was making it up.
And what point is this now? Where are we at now, Bobby? That we're deluding ourselves? That we have to fool ourselves?
No, I'm saying, you're not listening to me. I'm saying that I did a positive thing, even if it was only for 3 minutes.
All right, we'll take a break here. That's just about the most unbelievable thing that's ever happened on my show, what she just did, coming on this program, saying what she said, and then saying, "I'm only kidding, and at least I had people believing, and this is all to celebrate Prop 8 being ruled unconstitutional." Can't you come on this show and do something that is a little less shocking? And it doesn't take the audience on this emotional roller coaster. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World famous
Phil Hendry Show.
What are you telling me now, Bobby? Welcome back. World famous Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-PHIL. What are you telling me now?
I'm telling you, Phil, that I was raped.
Are you kidding me now, or are you telling me the truth?
No, she's telling the truth.
You're telling me the truth now.
I am telling you the truth, yes.
Then why did you say you were kidding?
Mr. Henry, my wife was raped. I'd appreciate it if you would not.
Why did you say you were kidding, Bobby?
I was very ashamed.
Well, there's nothing to be ashamed of.
Go ahead, Bobby.
I'm only kidding. All right.
Okay, Bobby, I'm going to hang up on you. I don't like what you're doing.
We are making... Hold on for a minute. Hold on.
No, I've held on long enough. I'm going to hang up on you. I don't like what you're doing. Do you understand?
Mr. Henry, there's a point to this. We are giving you moments. We're giving you envelopes of believability.
What does that mean?
We are giving you an envelope of believability by coming back and forcing you into the reality that a gay man helped me. We are giving you that envelope of believability.
That's the second time you've told me you were raped and you were just kidding. Let me go over here to Sarah. Go ahead, Sarah, on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I just thought I would mention that what she's talking about is something really serious, and it doesn't bring to anybody's attention mm-hmm. that gay people mm-hmm. are good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Incredible act, because somebody who is straight could have been the one who rescued you.
Can I ask you, Sarah, if you're on a speakerphone, Sarah, could you get off the speakerphone and use a handset? Is that possible?
I don't have one, actually.
Okay, dear. That's all right. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're fine. Go ahead.
Well, I want to say something, Phil.
No, let's listen to Sarah first.
The thing is, Sarah, gay people saved me, though. Gay people saved me.
No, they did not. You're in this delusional kind of world that you want to bring to people's attention that gay people are good. But the thing is that...
Are you saying that they're not? Are you saying they're not?
No, but you're mm-hmm. trying to bring to people's attention that they are good by bringing up this unbelievable act that you went through that nobody should ever go through, and people that have gone through that, I think, are really offended by you pretending that it happened to you. And I'm pretty sure there are women out there and men who have been raped, because men are raped too, that...
Men are only raped in jail. They only get raped in jail. You know.
So? So what?
Well, I want to just ask, ladies, ma'am, you said it was unbelievable. You believed it, though, didn't you? Steve Doolan, but...
Well, I felt sorry for her that she went through a disgusting act.
Exactly. Exactly.
But,
there you go. That's my point.
No, but as soon as you suggested... or brought to everybody's attention that it did not happen, I felt really sorry for you in the terms that you had to bring up something that is so personal and so devastating to people who actually go through that act, that you are basically slamming rape in their face and saying, hey, you went through rape, no big deal for you.
Well, look, let's bring this back to the planet Earth a little bit, because what I did was... had you feeling for me.
You're one who is going out of the outside of the earth into outer space.
No, I'm in the earth. You were outside of the orbit of the earth. I'm in it. I'm in, not in the earth, but...
What?
Wow.
What are you saying?
What do you mean, wow? If I may say, Phil...
Go ahead. We didn't know what you meant by outside of the earth.
No, she said that I was beyond the orbit of the earth.
Right.
No, I did not.
Well, he said that she was going out of the earth.
That if she is the one who's telling me that I'm outside the earth, it would actually be the reverse, that I am actually on the earth, and she is the one who's out in outer space,
well,
because she's bringing up something that people are really touched and destroyed with in these kind of things. And it doesn't change my opinion on gays. I think some gays are great and some gays are mean. And just like straight people, some straight people are great and some straight people are mean. I mean,
first of all, I want to...
Waves can break.
I have to ask, are you cleaning a fish tank? Because it sounds it's almost as if there's...
Let us handle the audio part, Bobby.
All right. What I did say was, first of all, I didn't come out of the earth because we all live on the earth. So either we leave the surface of the earth or we don't. To say that I came out of it is to say that I live under, that I'm from the underworld.
If you say the underworld, that's hell.
Okay.
Look, can we get off this discussion of earth? You brought this up, Bobby. And
no, she is the one that mischaracterized it.
No, she did not. No, she did not. She was saying, essentially, your point of view is from outer space. You said you wanted to get back to Earth.
Yes. And what I'm saying is this, Sarah. When I said, didn't I sound believable? Yes, I did. Didn't you feel for me? Yes, you did. And when I told, and when I told you, hold on, well, hold on. When I told you that two young gay men saved me, you felt pride?
And then when you said you were kidding, we all felt like we'd been just used, like we've been lied to, like we're a bunch of just idiots who have been used by you and your husband.
To make a point about gay people being equal? Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Hendry, that I manipulated you into thinking gay people are good.
Actually, what happened was is when you said two gay people saved you, I was happy that people saved you because I don't differentiate between gays and straight, and that's the problem with this world.
You have to work on that. You've got to work on that.
You don't have to differentiate between gay and straight? Wow. Wow.
Why should
gay men have sex with each other? Straight men don't. You don't know that.
Yeah, of course she knows that. She's saying that she's...
Well, Mr. Henry, if you keep coming to the defense of this girl, I'm never going to get anything out of her.
Okay, what we're going to do here is take a break. Sarah, you've done a great job. I appreciate your call very much, Sarah. I do, and we do need to break. Thank you very much. 877-876-7445 is the number here. We're talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley. You came on the program, and the two of you don't seem to understand. It's a very shocking thing when someone comes on a radio show.
Oh, is it not shocking, Phil, if it was a woman that you love saying it to you across the breakfast table? Would that not be shocking?
That would be terribly, terribly shocking. But when you share that kind of thing with potentially millions of people and you're not serious, and then you're trying to tell me you did it for a good cause.
Absolute good cause, man. Mr. Henry, to tell you, the gay man, they came and saved her. And I'm grateful for that because my wife, you know.
Well, I wasn't in danger.
She was not in danger. But I was thinking if she'd been in danger, I thank God the gays came to save her.
And this is what you guys call celebrating the passage, the overturning of Proposition 8.
Now, this is what we call a very good defense of equality for all people and a talk show host who's decided to take it and rub it in the dirt, almost as if it was a sandwich that I had ordered, and you go outside to the parking lot and you run the edge of the sandwich on asphalt. Okay?
Okay, sure. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Bobby and Steve Dooley in a moment.
Phil Hendry. You get it?
Okay.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And our number is 877-876-PHIL. We have Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. Ms. Dooley, your effort to boost the image of gay people today by coming on this program after the overturning of Prop 8 and saying you were raped and a gay couple came to your assistance, I think has been a wrong move. You were kidding. You said you were kidding. Do you understand that when you say you're kidding about something, you trivialize it?
So I think, as a woman, I understand a little bit better than you. When I said I was raped today, I'm only kidding, I was talking about it the way I would feel about it. And I'm not trying to trivialize what other women have been through, but I know myself. And I would have been, if it happens to me, I know I'll be tough. I think I'll be a lot tougher.
Yeah, I think my wife would be a lot tougher than a lot of women.
So I would be able to withstand it psychologically.
Really? Has it ever happened to you, really?
It has not, Phil, because fortunately I'm... Again, I don't want to appear as if I'm judging, but I'm a little smarter with where I park my car and this kind of thing.
So you were mentally tough. And when you said, I was raped, I'm only kidding, that's kind of how your brain deals with that.
I was pretty tough.
I'll do it, Steve. Yes. Now, for the women that I fight, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to take you almost as if I'm grabbing the back of your head and shoving your face into some reality. Okay? And remember, it was a gay couple that saved me. They were not. It didn't happen. You're right. But remember, it was a gay couple that saved me.
It didn't happen, but I should remember it was a gay couple that saved you. Therefore, in your imagination, a gay couple saved you, therefore...
Now, therefore, gay people are brave, too.
Are you saying they're not?
No, I'm not saying that they're not, but I don't need your story to reinforce that because it didn't happen. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Eric. Eric, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, Bobby. Steve, my personal feeling about this is that you're trying to use a lie to perpetuate what you believe to be true. Now, the moment you use a lie to tell a story, you lose all credibility, not just with the people you're telling the lie to, but any that hears that lie. You've lost all credibility with me.
So in other words, gay people are not brave. Gay people are not brave?
You have to be so melodramatic.
Well, no, I'm just asking you, if I lost credibility, you're saying that gay people aren't brave then.
So you're telling the story? I would believe not, because you're telling a lie.
That doesn't make any sense.
I've seen plenty of gay males. Females?
Are you gay, sir?
No, I'm not. I'm straight.
Are you gay, sir?
I am straight.
Look, all right, so you know that they're brave. And what I said, if they're brave, then what I said is essentially true.
What do you mean, if they're brave, what you said is essentially true?
But just what I said. I don't, you know, excuse me, I don't stutter like my boys would.
You're hypothesizing here. You're hypothesizing.
And
you have proof to back up your hypothesis. Let's look at it scientifically. What's your experiment?
Well, we know that proof of what? That gay people are brave? Yes, I do have proof.
What was your experiment?
I do have proof that gay people are brave. Yes.
Okay, but we know that your proof is...
Tell their story. Don't tell a fictional story. You lose
credibility. But I am. But I am telling their story. Yes, I am.
You're telling a fictional story where you hypothetically get raped and hypothetically are saved by...
No, I would bet you $1,000 the story I've just told has happened.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing as, that's not, help me out here, Eric. That is not.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get help from the caller, huh?
You have to get help from the caller.
Oh, why is that funny? I mean.
Go ahead. Let's see.
I was just going to say, why is that funny, Ms. Dooley?
You have to get help from the caller because you're.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, I do know what I'm talking about. If you're saying that it proves that it's happened because you'll bet $1,000 on it, that doesn't prove anything.
You want to bet against it?
Yeah, do you want to bet against it?
Want to bet against it?
Do you want to bet against it?
All right. So
I think I heard you guys the first time.
In that case, hypothetically, if I were to state that I'll bet $1,000 that my cat can... sing the ABCs. That makes it proof.
Oh, I'll take that.
Yeah, I want a piece of that.
You want proof of that?
Okay. Well, this is ridiculous. There's no proof. You can't prove anything with a bet. You can't prove anything with a...
Exactly,
you can put some money down, but there's no way, Bobby. I mean...
I can prove it. If you're asking me, have gay men interceded in the rape of a straight woman and saved her, I guarantee you I'll go to the archives of a newspaper, any major newspaper in America... and I'll find a story.
Then call.
You won't find a story, but you won't find a story about cat saying ABC.
Jesus.
call and exalt about those cases where that has occurred.
Exactly.
Don't
That's
throw
a great
in
point.
A hypothetical situation
mm-hmm.
that offends.
But I had to put myself in it. I had to
rape survivor out there.
Mm-hmm.
The rape survivors mm-hmm. are offended
right.
by your...
I don't know. Are you gay, sir?
Casual.
He's already said no, he isn't.
You're sure?
Yes, he's sure.
I'm 100% sure.
Eric, thank you very much.
But you want me to go through all those newspaper clippings when all I had to do was say I was raped today,
but
and you believed it.
But it was a lie.
You would have believed if I hadn't have said I was kidding.
You know, Bobby, I don't understand your point, though.
He would have believed it if I hadn't said I was kidding.
I told Bobby not to say he's kidding.
If I found out that you had taken my audience on a joyride for a full hour with a story that never happened, I would not only never have you on the show again, I would find out if I could have you criminally prosecuted.
For what?
I don't know for what.
Yeah. If we're not causing a public emergency, then you can't do it.
I bet you you're causing some kind of an emergency.
What emergency? Excuse me. What city was I in? What area? What neighborhood? What police agency was inconvenienced? You know, Phil, you're way out of your league.
Yeah, you're in the deep end of the pool.
Oh, get out of here, the deep end of the pool. Eric, thanks very much for your call, sir. I appreciate that very much. 877-876-PHIL. I'm in the deep end of the pool, huh? Let me tell you something. I know the law.
Yeah, but if you know the law, then you know that there's no law has been broken.
We made a point about Bobby on account of she'd been raped a gay man savior.
Well, it was two gay men.
It was two gay men.
It wasn't any gay man because it never happened.
If it had, though.
If, Phil, what we're saying, if it did happen, that's how it would have happened.
Oh, I see. So now what you're telling me is if it did happen, you're sure that it would have happened that way. And that's where we get further and further away from the actual concrete reality of the situation. Brian, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
How you doing?
Yeah, let's go, man.
I'm sorry.
We're burning daylight.
I'm sorry, man. How you doing? I really want to know what kind of fantasy world that lady is coming from where she
is this the caller that I'm supposed to talk to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where were you?
Lady, you need
the
to
man was away.
I got a
he was away from the phone.
Okay?
My wife asked you where you were. Were you sitting on a toilet?
You are making absolutely no sense at all.
Okay, if you two guys won't be the man, hold on, because they're not listening to you, man. You have to shut up and let him talk.
I asked him where he was.
You are making absolutely no sense, lady. You're talking about this guy having to ask customers for cents, and you have your husband with a stuttering problem on the phone, and you're making up stories about being raped. Do you have any idea about how freaking ridiculous you sound?
Do you know how stupid you sounded when you weren't on the phone when they asked you to be?
What are you raiding the refrigerator?
No, I was actually on the couch smoking a cigarette waiting. I wasn't
idiot.
Sure.
What an idiot.
Hey.
Lady, you have absolutely no credible source of information. You have to make up a story. Are you kidding me? About being raped and some sort of gay Superman coming out of the sky and saving you? What kind of fantasy? You're talking about being on Earth? You're not even thinking straight, lady. Are you crazy?
You're the one that smoked cigarettes, not me. How stupid is that? And another thing, at least I know that when I'm on the phone and I'm waiting to talk to someone, I have the good courtesy to stay on the phone.
Yeah, you're probably thinking about making up stories about being raped or something to get more attention. You are ridiculous, lady. I can't believe
you. No, I'm not ridiculous. What's ridiculous is for you to sit there, smoke endless amounts of cigarettes until your breath reeks and your lungs are rotted out.
I'm smoking endless amounts.
What's that
of
got
cigarettes.
To do with anything?
It has
That's got nothing to do with
nothing
anything.
To do with gay people or anything. Your whole entire argument is ridiculous.
All right. Can I ask you a question? Are you gay?
I am not gay. I'm straight. I have a wife and a kid on the way. You
put the cigarettes
idea,
down, man. God, the guy's smoking.
Forget about whether the guy smokes. It's got nothing to do with it.
It has absolutely nothing to do with gay people.
I said I was raped because people like you are never going to believe that gay people are brave.
unless I can
My best
something.
Friend is gay, lady. My best friend is gay. I've known him for
Well, what does
years.
That tell you? Well, what does that tell you?
That doesn't tell
what does
me
that mean?
Anything. There's horrible people, whether you're black or you're gay or you're white. It doesn't matter. There's horrible people all over the world. And you
What's
live in this fantasy... You live in this fantasy world. You have to make up stories about being raped. You don't even have any idea what reality is
Did
like.
Did you know that your friend is gay? Your friend is gay, and I had to make up a story to convince you that gays are brave. That's what's sad.
You don't have to convince me anything,
lady. Gay about it. What's that tell you?
Hey, Mr. Dooley, would you be quiet with the what's that tell you?
Well, I mean, the guy's best friend's gay.
That doesn't mean he's gay, all right? We've already established that. Number two... Ms. Dooley, what is your point that if this man, if he's got a best friend, don't you think he knows his friend?
Oh, I'll bet he knows him.
You know, you two really ought to grow up. If you want to be on this show to talk
Seriously.
About gay people and the strides of gay people and how brave they are, and then you turn around with, oh, I'll bet he's gay, all your little innuendo.
I'm 22
I'm trying
years
to cut
old, lady, and you sound absolutely ridiculous to
mm-hmm.
me. I can't believe it.
Well, then why don't you listen to an educated woman tell you something? I've been around a while. When I said that I was raped and that two gay men came to my rescue, I was making the point that I'm strong and that I'm a woman and I'm strong and there are gay men that are strong.
And that has absolutely nothing with the proposition that you're... That has absolutely nothing with anything. You shouldn't... You just shouldn't do that. Maybe something traumatic
what?
Like that needs to happen to you because you have absolutely no sense of reality or sympathy for any for people who have had something like that happen.
I think that's
You're
the point here.
Person.
Yeah, that's the point. And when you
person.
Say that happened to you, Bobby, and it didn't happen to you,
are you not? So you don't think I'm strong because I went through that?
You didn't go through that.
You didn't, and I don't think you're strong because you wouldn't be on the radio making up stories about it.
I know myself well enough to know that were I attacked by a rapist, believe me, he'd go to a hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
Boy.
Whatever,
wow.
lady. Whatever.
You know
you
something?
Have
some people have confidence. I do.
Yeah,
where did
does.
You grow up, lady? Mars?
You mean the planet Mars?
Yeah,
oh,
where
my
did
God.
You grow up? Seriously. I mean,
I grew up in Southern California. I grew up in Southern California.
Yeah, you're going to say she's nuts because she's a fruit and a nut?
You think I'm fruits and nuts?
Yeah,
okay.
I think you're absolutely crazy. I really do. I mean, you are crazy.
That's what I think of you.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, Brian. I think you
Absolutely.
Did. You may not think that you went a long way toward finding some truth, but you did. I appreciate that. 877-876-PHIL. Is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk with Bobby and Steve Dooley here about that. Obviously, we know, and I am, Bobby, I support I'm happy, for the ruling that makes Proposition 8 unconstitutional. I always felt that it was. I'm happy for gay people in California. I hope it spreads across the country. And we didn't need you coming on here and stinking it up with a lie.
It was not a lie, Phil.
It was Mr. Henry here. She told us a story.
It was a story. You ever heard of Aesop's Fables?
Are you trying to tell me now this is some kind of a fable, huh?
Yes, sir. What about the moral of the story?
Did you ever hear about Aesop? You know who he was?
Yes, ma'am. I do know who Aesop was.
All right. And then he had the moral of the story.
All right. Hold on. Yeah, he had the moral of the story, man. You came on this show, Ms. Dooley, and you were trying to get people to believe you were telling the truth. 877-876-PHIL is the number. What an outrageous hour. Bobby and Steve Dooley with us here as part of just sort of commenting on Prop 8 being ruled unconstitutional. She came on the show tonight and said she'd been raped and was saved by two gay men, and then she said, I'm only kidding. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Grow up, Mr. Henry.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
And don't forget the world famous Phil Henry Show next hour, our news and information hour. If you want to join us, on Twitter. I'm over at Twitter at RealPhilHendry. That's twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. And if you want to join us at Facebook, my personal Facebook page is facebook.com/PhilHendry. Or you can like our fan page, which is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, P-H-A-N-S, because that's what we do with the F. We turn it to a P-H, and it's really silly. All right. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us here. Probably not a very good time to bring those things up because of the, I believe with the commentary this evening, Ms. Dooley, you using a canard saying you were raped when in fact you weren't to glorify the strength and the bravery of gay people, I think was absolutely wrong, absolutely inappropriate, and you've heard the reaction of my audience.
So you coming on your program just now and saying, ooh, follow me on Twitter, ooh.
Yeah?
Go to Facebook.
Yeah, go to Facebook. That is trivial, and you trivialized my rape. And
you weren't raped, Ms. Dooley. Don't keep saying that you were.
Then don't keep going all about, hey, go to Phil Henry Fans.
And plus, Mr. Henry, when you said, go to Phil Henry Fans, you were going, go to Phil Henry Fans. You sounded effeminate.
And not in a way, Mr. Henry, we would say you're strong. It was an effeminism. You know,
the two of you, in between you butchering the English language and coming up with the most contrived and asinine points of view on my opinion, I don't know whether to laugh or cry listening to you.
That sounds like something you'd say.
Yeah, it sounds like something you'd say.
Well, whatever that means, you know.
It means exactly what we said.
Yes.
I mean, sorry. Yeah.
877-876-PHIL is a number here on the Phil Henry Show, and, no comment. No comment. Let me go to a phone call here. We have Brian. Brian, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Ben, actually.
I'm sorry, Ben. Go ahead, Ben.
I just wanted to say, I think it's a travesty that she's coming onto the show and my son's mother, my fiance, and my biological mother have all been victims of rape, and I think it's awful, an awful
who
way
did it?
To make
did it?
Whatever.
Would you let the man finish? Let him finish.
And I think she's offended a whole lot of people out there, me included, who actually felt sorry for her, and she had to say.
That's the point.
Absolutely negated by coming out.
That is the point. You felt sorry for me, and then your prejudice did not allow you to. And that's what we need to work on. You need to work on that.
What does he need to work on?
Despicable people I've ever heard in my life. You know, I cannot believe you would make light of something like that. It's just...
No. You said that did you not say that you felt sorry for me, and then because of your prejudice...
Yes, until
you didn't?
I found out you were lying...
You said every woman you know has been raped. Is that said, sir?
No, I said very important women in my life, my mother, my fiance, and my son's mother, all have been victims of rape, and it's extremely affected their lives and their quality of life, and mine included.
Let's play a game. Who did it?
What do you mean, let's play?
Who did it?
What are you talking about? It's just three different people I'm talking about. Who did what? Who raped him?
Who committed the rapes? Yeah.
Who did it?
What the hell does that have to do with?
What are you talking about?
Let's play a game. Who did it?
Because we're not playing any game.
Emotions and with people's well-being, and I think that's just very sad. You know, there were people that
listen,
were,
Ben.
You know, there's people that are
I
raped.
Came on this program because Mr. Henry was laying an egg. Okay. Do you know that show business term, laying an egg?
It doesn't matter if you think I was laying an egg or not.
We're trying to bail you out.
Lady, what can be said to you to make you under... I don't think there is anything that can be said to you, and I agree with the guy that was on before that maybe something like this does need to happen to you for you to have any emotion.
How dare you? How dare you say that? It did happen to me today. It happened to me today.
But you were only kidding.
Yes.
All right, Ben, we got... Ben, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. News and Information Hour.
Phil Henry.